All right, everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Birmingham Rental Investor. I'm your co-host, Spencer Sutton. I've got Matthew Whitaker here with me as our as my other co-host, and we have a special guest today, Les Jenkins. And so, Les, we're excited to have you with us.
Oh, great. I appreciate you letting me join.
Yeah, Les is a competitor of mine in more than one thing. So we're baseball coach competitors. Uh-oh. So we've competed for years in Little League baseball. So it's good to have you, Les. Thanks for coming on the show. And I know people are going to learn a lot because you've been doing this a long time. How long have you been kind of in the Birmingham investment real estate scene?
I would say around 15 years. I grew up over in Mississippi and graduated from Ole Miss back in 97. I came over in Birmingham. I had a banking finance degree, so I worked in commercial lending at a local bank here for a while before I started getting into the real estate side. So, as you know, the banks back then, when the market started to turn, they started buying each other. So, me and a buddy of mine, which was in an accounting field, we decided to take an adventure into real estate. So that's kind of how that formed.
Did you start by investing, or did you start, with buying and selling yourself, or did you start representing people as their agent?
I actually did both at the same time because right when I got in, the market started to turn. So, we immediately saw, the foreclosure market. So we identified that right off the bat. So I basically moved over to acquisitions, in our company. Now I do work for Keller Williams, and I do normal home sales as well, and been doing that the whole time. But as soon as the market had a turn, we noticed that, and we got into that foreclosure market and started investing.
And you're talking about the 07-08 recession?
Yes.
So when you say turn, you mean turn down,
in a really bad way. Right. Yeah. Right. Which for an investor, it's a really good turn. If you're acquiring properties.
Speak for yourself.
It was the bad turn in the market at that time.
I think it was probably a great time if you were just getting into real estate, you had cash, you didn't have to rely on, financing or anything like that. It's probably a beautiful time to get into real estate. Matthew and I were in before that. And so we rode the roller coaster up and barely hung on the way down.
Well, I was just saying that, you guys being in there beforehand. It was probably a different view. As me coming right in and walking right into that.
Talk about your strategy during that time, Les, because it appears we may be headed towards something similar, or could be heading towards something similar. Talk about your strategy at that time for people that are getting into investing right now.
Well, the name of the game is money. So you need to basically, as much money as you can pile up, go ahead and do it. And we were into the acquisition. So we bought as many properties as we could. That was the name of the game at the beginning. And then we had to put together a good contractor. We went and found a good contractor. So we knew in the end that we could sell them on the back end. So we just acquired as many as we could. And that was essentially the game then, starting off.
You were thinking, when you were acquiring properties, you were thinking hold, or were you thinking, when you say you could sell them on the back end, were you thinking, hey, we're going to buy these, rehab them, and then flip them, or were they for more long-term rentals?
Well, we had three, kind of a three-headed business model. We bought them, and we for hold, and then we bought them, remodeled them, put renters in them to sell on the back end. And then we also did your normal remodeling and selling, on the market. So if you could acquire a nice home in, let's say, Vestavia or Homewood at that time, which you could at that time. Mm-hmm. We did that as well, in mind to sell to a homeowner versus an investor.
Talk about where you got your money, where you raised capital. Obviously, you don't have to give names, but is this like friends and family money? Is it bank money? Where did you get the money?
Well, a little bit of it was my own. And then, yes, we did a lot of fundraising. We had a big contact out of Oregon that we met up with, and he basically funded us for a long period of time. And then, you know, then you get to where, you know, you don't really need that funding, or we created other avenues out of New York, and a couple in California. But that, you know, as far as money, that's the only place that we would go. We wouldn't go to the larger banks. It was pretty much, you know, private type money.
And so you kind of scraped it together, it sounds like, to begin with. And then once you started being really successful, people, money seems to find you when you get kind of a track record.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. It's very important to have a good reputation in this business. Because once you do, yeah, the money will come find you. You know, in advertising on, you know, on the national sites like LoopNet, you know, it gets your name out there. Bigger Pockets, you could get on those type deals and get your name out there. And then our Oregon connection's real big on Bigger Pockets, so he throws our name around a lot out there. So yeah, the money part was it seemed to find us somehow. I guess the deals were so good here compared to California and Vegas. So it tends to find you.
Talk a little bit about your turnkey business, because you mentioned that was one of your three-headed, and this is you know, the show is really for rental investors. So talk a little bit about your turnkey business. What types of properties were you buying back then, kind of in terms of, you know, year built, maybe even some areas, and then kind of give us an idea of scale, how many properties you bought
and who you were selling to.
Okay. Well, wow. We at that point in time, I could buy as many as we could get. Now, that's how good the market was as far as, you know, finding foreclosures. You know that, Matthew. I mean, I would stay busy all month long, you know, nonstop, you know, closing deals.
Yeah, for a while, that was a competitive, because it was like either me, you, or one other group was them.
It was about three or four of us. So really,
those were the good old days. We didn't know how good we had it at that time.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I would say I'd like to see that again, but you know what comes with that is there's a really bad market for everybody else. So,
well,
but,
it's possible.
Yeah, it is possible. But yeah, what was your question? The second part of that?
Yeah, just talk about the scale. How many homes you bought during that kind of recession period, maybe for 3 or 4 years? And then Spencer was curious who you sold those to, types of properties.
Okay. Typically, we would stay at the point in time when you could be choosy, we would stay in the 1950s to 60s range. Because they were easy to remodel for us. The way they were built, it was just an easy remodel. So we would crank as many of those out as we could. And that could be, you know, your typical sought after areas right now, like Centerpoint, Adamsville, Hueytown, those type areas. And as far as numbers, I would probably say we've done, right now, I know we've done over 1,000 homes, probably 400 or 500 over in the East Lake Centerpoint area, and probably 400 or so on the other side, you know, Hueytown, Bessemer.
You know, so you're just getting started. You're just getting started doing this.
You're a newbie. What a newbie.
And then the last part of that question was, who do you sell those homes to? Is it private individuals? Are you selling them to funds? What is your exit strategy for your turnkey?
Well, that's changed as well throughout the years.
I was about to say, when Matthew and I were doing this, there weren't a lot of out-of-state investors. There were not institutional buyers in Birmingham. So have you seen that change?
Well, it changed for a while where the big guys started coming in. You know, I could put names on here, but I'm not sure if you want that. But there were some larger institutions that would come in, and we would hook up with them, and they knew that we were suppliers, basically. So they would come to us, and as many as we could do, you know, they would gobble up. you know, they, I'm trying to figure out the year, probably 2013, 14, that started to change. Those institutions, they have basically gone away because the numbers of, you know, the numbers have gone down on the foreclosures. So your inventory is not there anymore. So now we're having to go to individual buyers. We have one in New York that's, he kind of runs a fund, and he's bought, and we put together four or five different packages of, let's say, 35, 40 homes. And you know, they usually buy those, like that. Now, individual buyers are tough to come by, to be honest with you, for us anyway, locally, because they want to do it themselves. And I know we plan on talking about that later.
Yeah, no. That's perfect. And we will get into that later, because you've also helped personally a number of people put together rental portfolios as their agent too. So I do want to get into that in a minute, but let's keep talking about this. Tell me a little bit more about your strategy kind of post-recession. You know, we've been on a long real estate bull market run. Obviously, right, you're selling to this New York investor institution. And so now, but what have you been doing over the last 7 to 8 years? How has your strategy changed?
Yeah, right.
It's a lot more work. a lot more work. We've got wholesalers. It's about being connected with the wholesalers in town. We go to the courthouse. We buy them from the courthouse a good bit. And just my agent contacts from, you know, being in the business, in the investment business for 15 years, I have agents that'll call me, you know, hey, we got these deals here. And that's just for me being, you know, having a lot of contacts out there. But yeah, it pretty much, you know, more boots on the ground, you know, as hard as you can work. You gotta be at that courthouse once a week. And you're gonna, I don't know if you guys have been lately, but you know, it's getting as fierce battle up there as it is anywhere else. So it's really hard to acquire them now.
It's crowded on the courthouse steps right now.
It is.
So you're buying houses from wholesalers, you're rehabbing them, and then you're selling them to some institutional investors, well, like groups up in New York. But what about, what can an individual expect? How can they purchase rental houses here in Birmingham?
The same way. Number one, they need to find you need to get a good agent that's experienced in the investment world. Just finding the normal real estate out of the phone book is, you know, while they're good at what they do, you need to find somebody experienced that's dealt with investors. And it just makes it a lot easier. I do have some individual clients as well that I help. And one big market right now is spilling over from Atlanta. You know, Atlanta, it's hard to find anything under the 1% rule over there now. So I'm getting a lot of spillovers actually from Atlanta.
Are these Atlanta investors that live in Atlanta, or are these people,
yes,
from California that are trying to buy Atlanta and now switch?
No, these are Atlanta investors that can no longer find properties there.
And you're helping them, Les, buy homes?
Yes. If we can find them, I'm helping them. And I'm giving them avenues to search. You know, it's hard, you know, when you have a lot of clients, it's hard to be there nonstop every day. So I try to find them different avenues, you know, places to look and to kind of do some research on their own, do some due diligence on their own, and then let me, you know, come in and maybe acquire the property from them just from my connections that I may have.
So a transaction looks like you kind of get them set up to, you kind of, instead of give them a fish, you teach them to fish, and then you're going to help them with the transaction and probably some of the underwriting and telling them whether it's a good deal.
That's right. Yes. And that's important to have somebody here that knows if it's a good deal. I mean, there's, you know, you'll have your agents out there that want to just close a deal. Well, we try our best to have repeat customers. We don't really take on that many new customers. So these customers come back to us. because they know they trust us, and they know they can get a good deal with us and know we're telling them the truth. So we really don't need a lot of new customers because of that. So my advice is to find somebody you trust. Even if you have to tell you what I did when I started off, I fronted the money and I paid someone that had experience for me to do a deal with them. Just kind of bird tail and just follow them along, go through the process. And I took, I paid him to do that, but that was the most valuable lesson I've ever had. The most information I've ever had.
So it's like a mentor. You financed the deal and he walked you through the whole process.
Right. And that helps you more than anything, is to find somebody like that. And to find somebody willing is the trick, but it's very valuable information.
Les, you've been talking about here, you said a couple of times, helping people find a good deal. Describe what a good deal looks like in Birmingham, Alabama today.
Okay. Well, it depends on what level you're talking, but I'll just give you kind of a rough what we're doing right now. Your returns, you asked about returns earlier. They definitely have changed from where they were. So let's say if you're buying a deal for purchase price $50,000 and you put, your remodel budget's, maybe $20,000-$25,000. Well, your sales price that you're looking for that is going to be around $100,000. Mm-hmm. That's a good scenario there. But if you're selling it if it's going to be a rental property, you're in a management group. So that's why I'm trying to keep this in the rental.
Yeah, sure.
Perfect. Rental aspect. So
if I'm looking to buy a rental house in Birmingham, what's a good deal to me?
Well, I would start off with making sure, and that's talking with somebody like you guys, making sure you know what the rent will be in that area. Do not base your model off an inflated rent. If somebody's telling you you can rent this house for $1,000. Well, if you really can't rent it for $9,000, that's going to throw all your numbers off. And I've seen that happen too many times here locally. Yeah, if you've got a management company telling you they can rent it for $1,000, well, you're going to base your purchase price, your construction, all your costs based on that $1,000 rent. And then when you get to the end and you're only getting $900, well, I've seen that happen many of times.
Yeah, a lot of times agents, like you were saying, agents don't know what they're doing. They're right. Notorious for overselling what they can rent.
This should rent for $1,200. Don't worry about it.
At
least $1,200.
Right. And that's us being in the business as long as we have. Those are the things that you just know and pick up on and that are helpful for new investors especially.
Talk about, like, if you could buy a house in only one zip code in Birmingham, what zip code would that be?
Oh, wow. If I was a new investor and didn't have a lot of money, but you're looking long term, I would probably, you guys probably already know this, I would focus, in which I am right now, kind of in the North Birmingham area, in the Norwood area. As far as that level of housing now.
Interesting.
Because I think that area right there is going to explode. Everything's building up out that way. And if you go look at the housing and houses in there, very beautiful houses. A lot of character in that area. So we're kind of focusing on buying in that area.
That's awesome. I haven't been in, I probably haven't driven down a street in Norwood in 5 years.
Right.
GK's grown, I've been stuck in this office. So it sounds like it's way different. So that's pretty awesome.
It's coming growing back. Up over there. Yeah.
What's interesting is I think I've heard that Norwood's coming back for the past 10 or 15 years. And so to actually, because we had somebody else on here, I think even Brian Miles was telling us that Norwood there are some renovations going on over there and people moving in and buying retail. So it only makes sense that people would want to rent theirs as well.
It's a great location. I know it's you know, kind of been down for a while, but if you just step back and look at where it's at and what's going on around it, and then the quality of houses that are in there, and even the streets, you know, they're, you know, really beautiful streets through there. I mean, it's just makes sense. And I'm already seeing it. I'm already seeing that it's harder to get properties in there because, you know, I'm not the only one figuring that out. You know, they're definitely, the prices are starting to go up over there. So yeah, I think that down the road, you know, again, that could be 5-10 years down the road, but, you asked me about Avondale, you know, I think that's, you know, maybe not as trendy as Avondale, but I think it's going an upward pace as Avondale did.
Yeah. And just for context, that northern Birmingham area, they're building the UAB's football stadium there, which is going to be a 40 or 50,000 seat stadium that they'll hold concerts. And the city's also invested. There's a hotel, which there's really two hotels there. One, I think, is a Hyatt, and the other one is a Sheraton down there. And then they've obviously have kind of an entertainment district. So the city is pouring a lot of money in this area, and the Norwood area is literally just north and a little bit east of that. And I will tell you, probably when Birmingham was just getting started, you could tell that was kind of the affluent section of Birmingham before people built.
That's right.
On the mountain just south of town.
Because a lot of nicer houses up there, they're just in disrepair right now, which are the ones you can buy at a discount.
That's right. And they're really nice, and they will be nice. And another area I was going to ask you guys about, are you seeing anything? We're seeing an uptick over there, you know, in the Hueytown Bessemer area because of the Amazon.
Everybody's mentioned that on our show, and I totally agree. I mean, it just makes sense. You're going to have a bunch of jobs out there.
Right.
And everything from Bessemer to Hueytown down to McCalla. The new properties down in McCalla. I think people are going to, you know, be willing to move into new homes down there. So maybe even some build to rent down in McCalla might, or building to rent in Hueytown. I think there's just a lot of opportunity in and around that area.
Yes, the prices right now are still okay. I mean, I don't know how long it's going to last. There's still deals to be made there. Are you guys seeing any of that? I mean,
yeah, we're not. I'm not on the front lines of all those deals as much anymore. So, but definitely know that that everything points to it makes sense. I mean, you know, anywhere Amazon's going to go, there's going to have to be things that support that on top of just all the jobs Amazon's going to create. So, seems like a pretty good opportunity right now.
As well as, you know, we've heard from a couple of different people, Southeast Lake is continuing to come back. So they're seeing retail deals, you know, in, you know, $150,000, $200,000 in Southeast Lake, which is amazing.
Yeah, we're buying over there too. Yeah. 10 years ago, we were kind of avoiding, you know, that other than certain pockets. But now, we're especially South. East Lake. Yes, we're buying as many as we can get over there.
Are those streets moving like better? Because there was a street that we never buy north of, but I mean, is it moving north where it's getting better north?
Yeah.
Not north side East Lake, but
just kind of coming down the hill.
Yeah. There. Third Avenue South, Second Avenue South, those streets.
Are you talking about going towards Woodlawn?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Woodlawn. I mean, you see the money they're pouring over there. I mean, they put some money in Woodlawn as well. But yeah, it's definitely moving as each street gets better. It's definitely moving now. And the 80th block and above has always been, you know, that's always been okay over there. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's all the way. Right. It's definitely moving. I mean, It's the, and those prices are being reflected too. Where I could used to buy one, you know, 10 or 15,000, they're 25 now. So it's definitely there's definitely more investors moving in those areas.
I kind of want to pivot. You have a background in banking.
I do.
Talk a little bit about how you see successful people financing these deals. Are you seeing people pay all cash? What have you seen over the course of, you know, a number of years in the banking industry and then moving into being one of those guys? How do you see like success over long periods of time?
Well, it depends on the small bank versus the big banks. The small local banks tend to be more favorable to lend on these deals. Now, what's going on right now, I'm sure it's affecting the banks. I don't know how yet. We haven't gotten into it. But as far as over time, we've always used, let's say, a line of credit from the bank. But it has to be secured by the properties. Well, when I was first starting out, we didn't have to do that. When I was in the bank, we would secure, as long as you qualified. I mean, we would lend on unsecured basis.
The good old days,
yeah, for sure, no doubt.
Well, then the banks went down, and then I'm sure that's partly to do, but. Yeah, now they're a little tighter on the restrictions on what they'll lend on, but there are other entities out there, and I could probably get you some names after this that we use that we send to some of our investors that maybe want to leverage a little bit, and these banks will go in and they'll finance 40 homes.
Do they leave the lender? Will the banks leave them on their balance sheet, these 40 homes?
Now, I've heard some local ones will. There are some local guys that will, but for the most part, I'd be surprised. It's been 20 years since I was at a bank. So,
do you know the Fannie and Freddie rules now? Is it still 10 rental properties?
Last I heard, yes. Actually, I had somebody the other day wanting 4 or 5 out of our package that we have now, and he said he only had room for, four more due to the guidelines. So I would take that as a yes.
I'll tell you a funny story. My wife went in to get a car one day and she was financing it at a credit union, and the guy comes back and says, "You own 3 houses." And she's like, "No, I don't. Somebody stole my credit." And she finally realized
that her husband
was the one that had stolen her credit. Now, she had obviously signed the documents, but she had forgotten she owned 3 houses. And the guy was impressed. She had a great credit score, which she didn't thank me for. But right. I'd like to talk a little bit about, the current environment. Do you think that your strategy is going to change as things start to worsen? For context, we're shooting this in April and the coronavirus is kind of in full swing. And nobody knows what's going to happen in the future, but it appears it's going to cause a recession. So thinking through, let's say it does cause a real estate bear market for a while. Do you think it's going to change the way you approach buying? Is it going to change the way you approach who you sell to? Just kind of any thoughts you have on that?
Well, I would probably, in a sense, revert back to the way we used to do it. We would probably... you're saying the market turns and the foreclosure market picks up and there's more foreclosures.
Correct.
Yeah. So I would definitely start to, the acquisition phase again, finding as many as we can. And that's, if there was one thing I look back at and I regret, probably out of everything. And I was inexperienced at the time, the first one went around. And that would be, I would probably hold a lot more properties than what we did. We were into the flip, get them ready, rent ready, and sell them. I do have hold properties right now, but I would probably focus on building a larger portfolio for myself, actually.
Let's say we go into a real estate bear market here. What do you think that's going to do to the wholesalers out there? I'm just kind of curious. I mean, because that's you know, in talking to a lot of investors here lately, they're getting a lot of deals from wholesalers, mm-hmm. which I'm guessing these wholesalers are spending money on, you know, mailers, right. all kind of stuff.
Yes. Well, I would hope that their business would pick up, but there will be other avenues for people to get those where it may hurt their mm-hmm. business. But you know, like the courthouse and MLS and, where people don't need a wholesaler as much, but if they're out there being aggressive, they may can pick these up before they reach that status. You know, if I was a wholesaler, I would be looking at the pre-foreclosures or someone who's having a problem and trying to get those houses before, mm-hmm. before the foreclosure process starts.
Les, if somebody wanted to get in touch with you, obviously you're still out there helping people buy homes. What would be the best way for them to do that?
Feel free to call me anytime. My number is 205-617-1662. But are you guys giving out information there? Do I need to give them my email address?
Yeah, if you want to, give whatever you want. We're going to be very transparent.
That's right.
Okay. So lesjenkins32@gmail.com. And I'll be glad to help answer questions, anything you may ask about the market or if I can help you find a property, I'd be glad to help.
Yeah. So Les, this has been really awesome. I appreciate you spending some time with us, kind of going through the Birmingham real estate market, Birmingham rental investor.
Appreciate you guys letting me join. You never need me again. Just let me know.
Yeah. Thank you.
I'll try to show my ugly face on the,
once you can shave again and take off your pajamas
then I'll let you know.
That's right. Then we'll.
That's what the real investors do, though. They all just work in their pajamas all day. That's the truth.
There's no doubt.
And us property managers have to get dressed for a living.
All right. Well, Les, well, thanks so much for joining us. And everybody, if you're listening and you haven't subscribed, go and make sure that you subscribe to the podcast. Give us a review if you like what you hear. And we'll see you next time on our next episode of the Birmingham Rental Investor.